My name is Professor Michael Kidd. I'm the Deputy Chief Medical Officer with the Australian Government Department of Health. I've been in this role since returning to Australia at the end of February last year. Obviously, there's been a number of developments and achievements throughout the pandemic, but one that I'm particularly proud of is when I arrived back in Australia and was brought into this role and was asked to look at how we would make sure that healthcare services would be able to continue to be provided to the people of Australia through general practice, through community nurses, and through other community-based settings. And so we looked at the potential of telehealth, the use of telephone or video for people to have consultations with their chosen healthcare provider. In Australia, there was a plan to roll out telehealth right across the country, across the healthcare system over the next 10 years. But because of the pressure of the pandemic, we ended up having to roll it out in 10 days. And this was absolutely essential as Australia was going into the first lockdown, that we were able to protect vulnerable people so they could stay in the safety of their own homes, and at the same time allow everybody who was in lockdown to be able to still connect with their trusted healthcare provider, not only to seek advice about COVID-19, but to continue the management of all healthcare problems.
Disability Australia advocates criticised the repeated reference regarding using underlying health conditions when announcing COVID-19 fatalities. If I could just ask for your reaction to that.
So what we know is that there are certain chronic health conditions which put people at increased risk of becoming seriously unwell and even dying if they become infected with COVID-19. And this is why with our national vaccine rollout, right at the start, we prioritised the vaccine for people who are at increased risk of developing serious disease if they became infected with COVID. This, of course, included older people, initially people aged 80 and above, 70 and above, 60 and above. It included Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, where we have a higher rate of serious chronic health conditions in people who are younger. And it included people with a number of healthcare concerns, especially people who are immunocompromised, people with serious heart disease or lung disease, people with diabetes, people who are obese, people with disability, which puts them at increased risk if they were to contract COVID-19. So it has been very important that we, as a nation, have prioritised these people for vaccination. And in doing so, because we now have high rates of vaccination amongst many of these groups of people, what we've seen in the current outbreaks is the death rates have been much lower than they were during the second wave in Victoria, where we saw so many deaths among older people, particularly, of course, people who were residents of residential aged care facilities, but also people with chronic health concerns. Now, they are exactly right. As people age, most of us develop one or two or three or more chronic health problems. As people do get older, it actually becomes normal for people to have chronic health concerns. And also, we have had, of course, the tragedy of some younger people who have had no other healthcare concerns, who have still become very unwell from COVID-19. And we see that amongst the people who are in intensive care. As we get thousands and thousands of people being infected with COVID-19 each week, as we're currently seeing in New South Wales, a small proportion of those people will become severely unwell, especially if they have not yet been vaccinated.
How is the Federal Health Ministry trying to ensure that no minority group, such as migrants and Indigenous communities, are left behind?
This is absolutely imperative with our vaccine rollout. We talk about 70% full vaccine coverage, 80% full vaccine coverage. It's very important that all the subgroups of people in Australia have the same levels of protection, and that we don't see disparate levels of protection amongst different groups of people in Australia. The Australian government has a number of advisory groups, which involve senior community leaders from different communities, as well as the representative and advocacy organisations for those communities. One of those advisory groups is the Culturally and Linguistically Diverse Advisory Group, which has been doing a fantastic job over the last year advising the government on the public health messaging. Obviously, the work with SBS and with other multicultural media outlets has been a really important component of that work, but also working with us on tackling challenges of vaccine hesitancy, which we've seen amongst some different groups. For example, we have seen some hesitancy around among older people about the AstraZeneca vaccine. We now have 90% of people aged 70 and above in Australia who've received at least a first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Most of those people have received the AstraZeneca vaccine, but we still have 10% who have been hesitant about being vaccinated. So it's been really important to work with the local communities, to work with the local community leaders on getting the messages out, and then, of course, providing the vaccine. We now have the vaccines available through 9,500 sites right across Australia. And of course, this includes mosques and churches. It includes community halls. It includes local GPs and pharmacists who speak the language of local people in the local community where they are based. So it's community leaders like Dr. Riffey who are the local heroes of this COVID-19 pandemic.
The federal opposition says they uncovered emails that shows that the federal government's health ministry missed early opportunities to secure Pfizer vaccinations.
So what I will say is that the Australian government has worked very hard to ensure that the people of this country are protected through vaccination, are protected against COVID-19. We've had a national vaccine strategy, which was launched last year. It had 4 different classes of vaccines, which we're going to base our vaccine rollout on. We currently have 2 of those vaccines, which move through the phase of research to be released in use in Australia. That's the Pfizer vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine. We brought on board very early on the capacity to produce the AstraZeneca vaccine in Australia, so we wouldn't be dependent on vaccine supplies from overseas. And as a consequence, we have delivered more AstraZeneca vaccines at this point in the vaccine rollout than Pfizer vaccines. And we've also made the AstraZeneca vaccine available to the citizens of many other countries, many of our near neighbour countries in the Indo-Pacific region. At the same time, of course, we've had the Pfizer vaccine coming into Australia in increasing numbers. And just this over the last past month, we've had extra doses which have been secured from the governments of Poland, Singapore, and now 4 million extra doses from the government of the United Kingdom in vaccine exchange arrangements. And from later in September, we're expecting our first imports of the Moderna vaccine.
I'd just like you to comment on the medical perspective of this pandemic being treated as an endemic.
Yes, so what's becoming more and more apparent is it's likely that we will need to continue to live with COVID-19 as we live with so many other respiratory viruses. And this will be part of our lives. And this is why vaccination is so important. Vaccination protects us each year from the influenza virus and the different variants which arise each year. Vaccination protects our children from very serious diseases like whooping cough and diphtheria. and measles and mumps and other serious illnesses. So vaccination is very important. So it's highly likely that we'll continue to live with COVID-19, but that we will have vaccines available to protect us, even if additional new variants continue to appear. We originally thought that maybe COVID-19 would burn out as the original SARS virus burned out back in 2002, 2003. But it became obvious really quite early that this variant of the coronavirus was going to be transmitted at such high levels to people right around the world that it was highly likely we were going to have to learn to live with it. We will be able to safely open up our borders. We will be able to have people coming and going from Australia. We'll be able to deal with outbreaks of COVID-19 as they appear. But people who have not been vaccinated are still going to be at risk of becoming seriously unwell.
There were a number of instances where politicians who were just not seen wearing masks in particular indoor settings where they probably should have been.
So mask wearing is very important. And we know, particularly with the Delta variant, that there is a high risk of transmission through aerosols in the air. And we've seen people who've been infected just by passing someone who is infected with COVID-19. It's why wearing masks when outside of your home in areas where we're seeing community transmission and outbreaks is so important. In fact, it's required at the moment in Sydney and Melbourne and Canberra and a number of regional areas. What we have with the Australian Parliament is we have a COVID-safe plan. Every business in Australia is required to have a COVID-safe plan. We have a COVID-safe plan for Australian Parliament House. During the most recent sittings of Parliament, people were required to wear masks whenever they were with other people. We had appropriate physical distancing in the chamber of the House of Representatives and of the Senate. And the only time that people were allowed to remove their mask was when they were either speaking to ask a question or responding to a question. And the reason for that is because it's very important that people are able to be heard in Parliament and that communication, of course, is essential. But we had additional safeguards in place. You may have noticed that there were Perspex screens between the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, and also between the parliamentarians and the clerks, the people who sit there taking the notes throughout the sittings of Parliament. So we took infection prevention and control very seriously.
Professor Kidd, is there anything else that you would like to add?
A huge thanks to everybody at SBS. SBS has been a really important partner with the Australian Government Department of Health in informing everybody in Australia about what's been happening throughout the pandemic, ways that we can protect ourselves and protect our loved ones and the wider community, and of course, providing details about our national COVID-19 vaccine rollout. So you're a really valued partner, and I thank you for everything that you're doing.